was that? Oh, don't worry. It's only a movie. What movie? Well, hang on. I'll tell you in a bit.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Before Halloween, I visited a couple of Halloween stores with one of my kids. She was thinking of being Chucky. The moment I heard that, I was all in. It was vicarious enthusiasm because, in truth, I want to be Chucky. As a kid, I had straight red hair, I had freckles, and a foul mouth. Although the doll looks like a six-year-old boy, he speaks with the voice of a man, and I can relate to that too. By the time I was 13, when I answered the family phone, people thought they dialed Barry White. So anyway, the first stop was Spirit Halloween store. It seemed in years past they made at least a yeomanly effort to emulate Hollywood set design, right? You'd walk through the front door and maybe into a cave with fog at your feet and thunder and lightning. Elaborate settings to get you in a spooky spending mood. This year, it was like walking into Walmart. Fluorescent lights over aisles and racks of costumes and masks and wigs and plastic broadaxes and blood cake Bowie knives. You can't tell the employees from the shoppers. Everyone has green hair, facial hardware, Wicked Witch of the West striped leggings, and that I hate my life attitude. And the Chucky wigs were sold out. Next was Party City. That's two or three times the size of a Spirit store with half the inventory. They'd probably sold out most of the Halloween crap by October 1. As we walked the aisles, I flashed on the idea for this very episode. I remarked to my daughter that all the merchandise of the store was crap. Nothing, not one thing, had any lasting value. Why was it here? Why were we here? No one seemed to be having any fun. Shouldn't a store named Party City be a party? Well, it wasn't. It was bleak, it was stark, and it was kind of stressful. My daughter wound up scrapping the Chucky idea and went with a character from some cartoon I've never heard of. But I realized something at Party City. What drives the consumer economy of the first world is the movies in people's heads. Some of those movies are produced by studios, some are homemade. For years, one of the richest women in the world was Josephine Mentzer. You probably are more familiar with her trade name, Estee Lauder. She was born in my hometown, Queens, New York. When she had built one of the biggest cosmetic companies in the world, and strangers would ask her occupation, she would answer, "I sell dreams in a jar." And she was a pretty big dreamer herself. Queens is called the borough of airports and cemeteries. Some areas are pretty nice, some are not, and some are awful. Josephine did not come from a fancy neighborhood, so she invented a past for herself. Instead of being the child of poor Hungarian immigrants, she claimed to have been raised by her Viennese mother on Long Island's Gold Coast in a mansion with stables, a chauffeured car, and an Italian nurse. Josephine knew everybody has a movie in their head, and that knowledge made her fabulously wealthy. She graduated from Newtown High School, which was about two blocks from the little house I grew up in. Unlike most New York schools, which are depressing brick boxes, Newtown was a magnificent piece of architecture, with a Rapunzel tower that could be seen from our tiny backyard. When I was a toddler, my mom convinced me that a girl lived up in that tower. For some reason, only Mom knew that girl's name was Loretta. I would stare at that tower for hours, hoping to spot her. Once or twice, I thought I saw her up there. Might have been a pigeon. But just to be sure, sometimes in the evening, I'd sneak out back with my slingshot and fire chunks of pizza crust at that tower in case Loretta got hungry. But back to Party City. Some of the weirdest pictures are those of adults in Halloween costumes, huh? The 98-pound weakling in Superman tights. The 300-pound woman in a cat suit. The dwarf in an NBA uniform. Do they know they look ridiculous? Maybe not. But putting on that costume fuels the movie in their heads. 20 years ago, the entire internet was laughing at that pudgy 15-year-old boy swinging a stick at an imaginary opponent. They called him the Star Wars Kid, and his video racked up over 1 billion views. Something changed in the zeitgeist since 2003. Back then, he was a punchline. Today, they call him a legend. The video was never intended for public consumption, but he had fun making it. He was sort of the living incarnation of that old bromide. Dance like nobody is watching. Maybe over time people cut him a break because sometimes we all do that, from air guitarists to shower singers. We're all wannabe somethings, aren't we? But that may be a recent development in human history. The concept of a middle class with leisure time and discretionary income is kinda new, along with the idea of self-actualization. In the Middle Ages, only young aristocrats wondered,
"What do I want to be?"
Everyone else wondered,
"Will today be the day I starve to death?"
And now, millions of people walk into Party City in search of worthless disposable crap. Why? Because the crap serves as props in their mental movie. And Party City is pretty savvy about marketing that crap. There's a whole section filled with paper and plastic supplies for weddings, because brides will feel extra glamorous eating off paper plates. Party City works the birthday angle, too. All kinds of categories, of course. The one labeled adult birthday supplies was intriguing. In most of retail land, the word adult is code for porn, but not in Party City. There, adult is code for soon to be dead. There are three categories of Party City adult birthdays: the age-neutral Happy Cake Day collection, the Better With Age collection, which features the consoling phrase vintage dude and age to perfection. You won't see any paper plates printed with vintage dudette, that's for sure. Last is the dreaded and reviled Golden Age collection. That begins at 40. Imagine that. 40 is in the Golden Age zone. Then everything ends at 60. That's when birthdays either stop or one is expected to stop counting. Isn't Party City missing some Golden Age monetization? How about streamers for walkers, like you'd put on bicycle handlebars? For an extra $20, they could come with little battery-operated fans to create the illusion of speed. What about washable Golden Age birthday decals and stickers for catheters and colostomy bags? But really, Party City is totally hip to the movie in the head angle of marketing. Check this partial list of party themes for tableware, balloons, and so on. Avengers, Batman, Battle Royale, hyperviolence, how shocking. Disney cars, Harry Potter, Jurassic World, Justice League, Mandalorian. Wonder if they cut out Gina Carano. Space Jam, Spider-Man, Star Wars, Transformers, Toy Story. And that's just the boy list. The girl birthday party idealist is a fraction of the boys. Basically, it's Disney Princess and Frozen. What's that about? Where's the equality? Do girls not care about cartoons and sci-fi like boys do? Maybe. Maybe a smart party thing for girls would be, manipulating airheaded boys while they obsess over stupid Kate movies. And what about the other 78 genders? At least something for the cisgenders, gender neutrals, intersexed, non-binary, polygender, and all those two spirits, which is defined as someone who possesses the qualities and spirits of multiple genders. How could Party City be so remiss and exclusionary? It isn't just Party City that accumulates massive revenues by selling props for mental movies. It's every single product that is not necessary for survival. Everything we buy other than food fulfills some imaginary need. Has anyone ever bought a car based solely on the important criteria, reliability and safety? No, so many other considerations affect that decision. Color, shape, design, electronics. But those are probably the least influential factors. The most important factor is, if I buy that vehicle, will it help me produce the movie in my head? Los Angeles roads are packed with Teslas. Some of them will deliver a neck-snapping 0 to 60 time of 2.5 seconds and a top speed of over 200 miles an hour. And there they sit on LA freeways, where the average speed in rush hour traffic is 11 miles an hour. What movie's playing in the Tesla guy's head? That he's saving the planet with his zero emissions electric car? Not if he takes into consideration the environmental impact of mining lithium and disposing of those batteries. Maybe the movie in his head is, why didn't I buy a Corolla? Along with Teslas are fleets of four-wheel drive monster trucks. Once upon a time, pickup trucks were mostly bought by guys who actually needed them. Contractors and farmers and ranchers. They had model names that were kind of beige, right? F-150, GMC, that was about it. Now they're made for dudes with movies in their heads. Like the guy who wants to roll with the dinosaurs in his Ford Raptor. He can even get a special horn that sounds like T-Rex. Wow, that sounds exactly like T-Rex. How do we know? Because 100 million years ago, somebody recorded one on his phone. Over at Jeep, which is not even an American company, they're real good at selling to movie-in-the-head type guys. They've got the Sahara Edition. You never know what might be over the next dune. Maybe some belly-dancing vixen in genie pants with finger cymbals and a ruby in her belly button. She's certain to be just around the corner from that Dunkin' Donuts up ahead. That there's the cultural appropriate in Jeep Cherokee. Do those guys identify with the Indians or the U.S. Cavalry? Only they know. For reenactor types who get their rocks off with ivory-handled six guns, chrome helmets, jodhpurs, and riding crops, there's the WW2 Willys Jeep version in that hideous army green. You can tool around like old Blood and Guts himself. Or not. George Patton did die from a car wreck. For sword and sandal freaks, they've got a Gladiator model.
We who are about to die salute you. Hail to the gods.
Now for more cerebral drivers, there's the Rubicon model, which by definition is a line or a boundary that once crossed cannot be uncrossed, which doesn't imply very good performance from that four-wheel drive, does it? The nutty factoid is the farthest off-road most four-wheel drive vehicles ever go is the driveway. Cars are expensive, But smart marketers can sell any crap to dudes at any price by using one amazing, alluring, magical eight-letter word in the product name. Tactical. Not sure when they discovered this, but holy shit, the amount of mundane stuff they sell as tactical gear, it's mind-blowing. Tactical t-shirts, underpants, pens.
Is that ballpoint legal, son?
Watches. You gotta have a NATO watch strap in your mouse clicking. Belts, sunglasses, paracord, and multi-tool bracelets, wallets, fanny packs, tie pins, flashlights, backpacks, canteens, hats. Somewhere out there has got to be tactical coffee mugs, paper clips, and ass wipe. All that says a lot about our culture. So many young, healthy dudes tethered to headsets and keyboards 5 days a week as customer service reps trying to glean even a scintilla of adventure, if it's only from the tactical camo case on their iPhones. Are those guys hoping for a big reset? Hell yeah. And it's way different from the one in Klaus Schwab's diseased brain. The latest dire prediction is a diesel shortage, and if that should come true, well, some tactical gear may come in handy, especially the kind that goes bang and launches a projectile at 1,000 FPS or more. But odds are, that won't happen. And our bizarre economy, fueled by worthless crap, will continue to limp along as freighters arrive from China, laden with hundreds of thousands of tons of crap from Wish and Alibaba, or other crap headed for an Amazon distribution center near you. Once in a while, movies in different heads with conflicting plot lines will clash with terrible results. Like when the inside sales department at Zimzow Widget Company decides to have a little surprise birthday celebration for Mort Jenkins, who's nearing retirement age and not the least bit thrilled about it. Kimberly dashed over to Party City on her lunch hour and returned with an assortment of tableware and balloons from both the Better With Age and Golden Age collections. Someone else ran out and grabbed a Baskin-Robbins ice cream birthday cake. While Mort's in his cubicle sweating over a spreadsheet, Kim and a few others ready the conference room for a nice little party. The movie in her head says everyone will laugh and smile and sing happy birthday, then eat cake, and maybe, in all the excitement, she can sneak out at 4:30 and get a head start on dinner. Around 4 p.m., they send Tanner, that weird kid from IT, they send him to lure Mort to the conference room for the festivities. But Mort, he's had a rough afternoon. His abusive alcoholic wife called to inform him that she's been banging that creepy old hippie with the earring and ponytail who works at Whole Foods. The next call was from his boss, who told Mort to freshen up his resume. After that, it was his internist, who said that polyp they snipped out of his colon, well, it was not benign. That's about when Tanner arrives and invites Mort to the conference room. Mort never liked Tanner, who has no filter and isn't real bright. The movie in Tanner's head is that he's actually Michael Scott from The Office, so he snaps his fingers at Mort and says, "Come on, old man, time's a-wastin'." A vein throbs on the side of Mort's skull as he softly tells Tanner to go ahead. He'll be there in a moment. Mort takes a deep breath, grimaces, and slides open the bottom left drawer of his desk where for many years he's kept a pistol. It's for comfort and protection on hundreds of midnight walks through the deserted parking structure after thousands of hours of unpaid overtime, which saved his scumbag boss's hide. The same boss who just laid him off. Mort slips the piece into the pocket of his tweed sport coat and heads for the conference room. Oh, those movies in our heads. Maybe we'd be better off without them. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. For hundreds more episodes and additional content and commentary, visit thatlarryshow.com. While there, click the subscribe button so you never miss a show. If you like what you just heard, send a link to a friend and leave a 5-star review wherever you download. If you really like what you heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and join the Take No Shit Dojo. Or you can pop a donation in the mail. There's a P.O. Box address also found on the homepage. Follow the show between episodes. We're on Twitter, Facebook. You'll find links to those as well as an email address if you want to write. All at thatlarryshow.com. My friends, whatever the movie in your head is, I hope it has a happy ending and never, ever a retail. Come hang with me again this Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.